Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
There are many stories related to the sinking of the Titanic. You may not know this one. Some of these have just come to light due to the success of the recent movie in the last number of years. For example, most people don't know that back in 1912, Hellman's mayonnaise was manufactured in England. The Titanic was carrying 12,000 jars of the condiment scheduled for delivery in Veracruz, Mexico, the next port of call for the great ship after New York City. The Mexican people were eagerly awaiting delivery and were disconsolate at the loss, so much so that it declared a national day of mourning, which they still observe today. It is known, of course, as Cinco de Mayo. Obviously, that is not the true story. Let me, though, give you some background. Some people think like Cinco de Mayo is the Independence Day of Mexico. It's not. There was a battle. About 4,000 Mexican soldiers smashed the French and traitor Mexican army of 8,000 at Puebla, Mexico, 100 miles east of Mexico City, on the morning of May 5, 1862. The Mexicans had won a great victory that kept Napoleon III from supplying the Confederate rebels for another year, allowing the United States to build the greatest army that the world had ever seen, basically. This grand army smashed the Confederates at Gettysburg just 14 months after the Battle of Pueblo, essentially ending the Civil War. Now listen to this. Union forces were then rushed to the Texas-Mexican border under General Philip Sheridan, who made sure that the Mexicans got all the weapons and ammunition they needed to expel the French. American soldiers were discharged with their uniforms and rifles if they promised to join the Mexican army to fight the French. The American Legion of Honor marched in the victory parade in Mexico City. In gratitude, thousands of Mexicans crossed the border after Pearl Harbor to join the United States Armed Forces. So you say, well, and I hear this, and you know this stuff happens on both sides. There is a sense out there, whether it's prejudice, discrimination of some kind, racism, if you will. There are people out there who say, you know what? If these Mexican people want to come to the United States, this is America. You have to say it right for it to be effective. You know, we're Americans. These people need to celebrate our holidays. This ain't Mexico. This is America where we live. They need to drop all that stuff and be Americans. You know what? This is not their Independence Day. This is a day that was celebrated by Americans and Mexicans. But sometimes we cross these lines, and what I'm going to talk to you today, and as you're listening and going through these scriptures, I want you to ask yourself this question. Now, you may not be a believer in Jesus Christ, and so some of this won't apply yet. But hopefully by the time we're done, or at some point in your life, it will. Fundamentally, you've got to ask yourself this question. Are you more Christian than you are American? Or are you more American than you are Christian? Because see, if you are a Christian first, then you've got to approach a culture and a world and this planet in a completely different way than you do if you're just an American, or if you're just a Mexican, or if you're just a Chinese, or whatever you may be nationality. Because the second you become a Christian, you are from another planet. The word alien is used, and I'll read that, I think, in the process of going through this. Let me read you something about culture. There's different definitions for culture. One of the definitions is the act of developing the intellectual and moral faculties, especially by education. Another one is enlightenment and excellence of taste acquired by intellectual and aesthetic training, acquaintance with and taste in fine arts, humanities, and broad aspects of science as distinguished from vocational and technical skills. And on down, another one is the customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. A set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterize maybe a company or a corporation. Now, culture is a good thing unless it gets in the way of reaching people. And where we say, you know what, it's about my culture and this is America. You know, before any of us got here, there was no America. We ran the Indians out. And they probably weren't crazy about all our new culture and our new traditions that we brought from Europe. Nobody's from here. We're all from somewhere else. Now, believe it or not, this stuff's in the Bible. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 first, and we'll look at 9 and 10. You have no idea, and I have no idea, how trapped I get in my ways and set I get in my ways, and how much really it is not about being a Christian, but how much it is about being American or a subcultural group. And it could be poverty that you have a problem with. It could be people with money you have a problem with. It could be people that are not as sophisticated as you are. There's any number of areas where this thing can happen, but I want you to look with me one of the main passages on this, just a great piece of scripture here where Paul the Apostle is writing to a church in Corinth. Paul says here, "For though I am free from all men," in other words, he knows he's a Christian, he's got God in his life, he has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He says, "You know what? I'm free from all of you. I can basically do whatever I want to do." And somehow that is true, but in the next breath, look what he says. "Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." And this word here for servant metaphorically means to give myself wholly to one's needs and service, make myself a bondman to him or a slave, that I might win the more. So his whole purpose here is to reach out to people that he never would connect with any other way and cross some lines, cross some barriers, get beyond some walls that we put up or other people put up and say, "You know what? I'm not leaving you back there and I'm not hiding behind mine. I'm going to go do whatever I have to do to win you, to reach you." Now look at verse 20. "And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews." Now, Paul was a Jew. He had grown up under the law. He was taught in the law. He was sophisticated in that area, educated in that area. He had Jewish culture down pat. And when he was around Jewish people, he was very careful to connect with Jewish people and not do something that was offensive. You have no idea the things, and I don't want to offend anybody by even doing this here if this is where you come from, but I grew up in Brazil. And one of the funniest things about living in Brazil and being an American, and there I was the outsider. We'd go to see a movie, and it was in English with the subtitles. And in the middle of a movie in a place where nothing was going on funny, one of the characters in the movie would look at another character and do the okay sign. And the whole place would erupt laughter because in Brazil, that is a sign for flipping somebody off. So in a place where there was no humor, all of a sudden it's hysterical because that guy's flipping the other guy off and he doesn't even know it. But in their culture, you say, "Well, that doesn't mean that where I live." Well, you go to Brazil and do that a few times and see where it gets you. Say okay to somebody like that in Brazil. You say, "Well, that's not my problem. I'm an American." You know what? We have this arrogant approach as though the whole world, we're the new Roman Empire of some kind. Everybody will just adjust to us. It's amazing to go to another country and everybody, we expect them, we're in France. "Well, you people should speak English. I'm an American. Where have you been for decades or generations or millennia? Doesn't everyone speak English? What's the matter with you people?" And we expect the whole world to adjust to us. Instead of saying, "Okay, God, how can I adjust to them?" So he says, "With Jews, the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law that I might win those who are under the law." So to Jews or people who are under the law, still living under that, you've got to be sensitive. Now you can say, for instance, you meet a really religious person who's all bound up, basically spiritually constipated is how I describe it. They're all just bottled up. They can't move. Do you know what? If that's where they are, Paul says, if they're Jews, I'll become a Jew to them. If they're under the law, that's where they are. Then you slide up beside them and very graciously and gently say, "You know what? I'm going to try to reach this person too. I was one of those people growing up. All bottled up and tight, didn't know who God was, didn't know He loved me, just religious, completely religious and living under the law basically. And somebody gently came along with me and said, 'Hey, let's talk through this, let's work through this,' and gently took me to a new place." Verse 21, "To those who are without law, as without law," not being without law toward God, he says, "but under the law toward Christ." In other words, not that I'm without law, I just do what I want to do. I'm still subject and under Christ's authority. But when you get with certain people, you say, "Well, he's a chameleon." Well, not in his convictions. You don't have to change what you believe to be adaptable around different people. And to be sensitive to who they are and where they are. There are cultures in the world, if I'm sitting on a chair and I cross my leg and the bottom of my shoe faces an individual, that's like flipping them off. It's completely offensive. You say, "Well, I'm an American. I can cross my legs if I want to." You can. But if you're trying to win them, you go, "Ooh, keep my feet on the ground." There are other cultures where hugging somebody, you know, I'm a big hugger and I've been trying to get this in my head. I see men, women, I try to be inviting and go up and hug someone in certain Oriental cultures. You walk up and hug a woman, you have just jumped way off a cliff. You've offended that person. You say, "Well, that's just who I am." You know, Paul said, "I'm not worried about who I am. I'm worried about who they are because I want to reach these people." And we slow down and think about some of these things, what we're saying, what we're doing. Now, I know, I'm telling you guys, if you're grappling already, they'll say, "You know what? You can't tell me how to live. I'm not trying to tell you how to live. I'm just reading you the book. If you got an argument, go to him." If you're getting uncomfortable, you are either an American or a whatever you are, or you're a Christian more than any of those things. And Paul says, I'm free, but I made myself a slave because I want to reach people, win people. So if they're without the law, I'll put myself without the law that I might reach them. Look at verse 22. To the weak I became as weak that I might win the weak. You know anybody that's weak? Going through a really tough time, and I'm usually kind of maybe a little flamboyant and going and, you know, I have to kind of downshift just to be still. And you get around somebody who's like, you know what, whoa, slow down, that's not where I am. And you kind of have to get next to them and say, okay, God, give me wisdom to take this person from where they are and help move them along. Instead of the whole world adapting to me or us, we need to say, you know what, God, help us adapt to them a little bit. Not compromising our convictions and our beliefs, but being flexible and seeing that there's a whole other world out there and people think differently and live differently and have customs, traditions. And he sums it up by saying, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. I'll do whatever I can in whatever situation I'm in to be adaptable, to adjust so that I can win somebody in that situation. And I don't have time to go through all these things about Jesus. You start reading about Jesus, you'll find him in places and situations with people that Jewish people wouldn't have gotten near. Talking to Gentiles, eating with prostitutes. Just bizarre stuff from their cultural standpoint, but he was crossing lines for a reason to reach people. So he says, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. The gospel. What are you trying to get to people? You sit down with them, whether they can even understand it completely or not, it's for the gospel's sake. Jesus died. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. Somehow being able to communicate that God loves them and has a plan and a purpose for their life. Now, there are people who say, well, I don't want to adjust to this. You'd be amazed in the business world. We have a family, a couple in our church involved in a business, and corporations hire these people to come in and teach them for business purposes how to interact with another culture. You show me a technology company, a real estate company, whoever it may be, and they're trying to do business, let's say, in Mexico. They will spend thousands of dollars trying to figure out how do you get a deal done in Mexico between America and Mexico, because if they don't figure out culturally what the deal is, they'll lose the deal. So they'll change anything for cash, right? When you go to that business meeting, you have to sit there for 2 or 3 hours, drink tea, talk, you know, bow, whatever you got to do. They're like, fine, teach us how to do it. We're going to make some money. We'll do whatever we got to do for cash. And what I'm saying is, why don't we do this for Christ, not just for cash? You show me a black guy meets a white girl and they're going to get married. Now, their family doesn't know that yet, of course. But you take a black guy who's dating a white girl, and the white girl somehow just doesn't tell mom and dad that he happens to be black, and go take him home for Christmas. You're going to have some adjustment going on in that house. And even if the families get along with it, someone walks in a church. I had a girl recently tell me, and I won't even tell you what state she was raised in, or wouldn't embarrass anybody, but she was raised and honestly believed, this is what she was taught, that the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. That concept was that she could not marry a black man. And somebody like, yeah, that's right. That's what it says, isn't it? The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. You don't put a cow and a cat in the same harness, put two Christians in the deal. It doesn't say anything about skin, color, culture, anything. If you're both believers and God's in it, get married. You say, well, I don't want to be a part of a church like that. We got doors on both sides of the room. Jesus, God, Christ, this whole thing is not about being religious and finding some little subcultural group that you're comfortable where everybody looks like you and talks like you and smells like you and drives like you and whatever it is. It's about people. And one way, before we get done here today, and I'll throw this in here now. If you're a Christian specifically, you've got to see this as though there's this God planet. And God on that planet with all his children says, I'll tell you what, there's a planet out there called Earth, and I got a lot of people who are not my children, and we're going to go get them. So I'm going to launch you guys, I'm going to beam you to Earth, and you're going to appear on this planet, and your job is to reach those people. Now let me tell you something. If you're flying to this planet and look down, it's just this big, what's been described as a marble of sorts. You land on it somewhere, he puts us out there. Your main concern is, wait a minute, I'm black, they're white, or I'm white, and they're Mexican or Chinese, whatever you go, they're people. Look, they got hands and feet, whatever. Our job is to reach them. How are we going to do that? So if it's Chinese people, you say, okay, we got to learn this language maybe. Your job is to reach them, become all things to all men. So he puts us there. We've been here so long, though, and are so indoctrinated, ingrained in the cultural aspect. When Christ gets a hold of us, we are still more whatever American, Chinese, Mexican, whatever we are, than we are Christian. And it takes us a long time to get that out of our system. God says, just reach them. You say, that's for missionaries. Exactly. What do you think we are? You say, well, God didn't call me to missions. He called every one of us as we're going to make disciples, whenever, wherever. And this town is crawling. Within a 3-mile radius of this building, there's about 180 different languages spoken. You don't have to go to Africa to find Africans. Last night, Patrick and I were down here about 11:30 to make sure everything was right, setting up some stuff. And he parked his car out here with his flashers on after a few hours, and his battery went down. So we get outside, we get in the car and try to turn over, like, oh, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for a dead battery. You know, that was our attitude. We were fine. I thought, okay, what are we going to do? Called security. They didn't have any jumper cables, nothing. So I said, okay, Lord, what's going to happen here? What do you want to do? So I get out of the car, and here comes a taxi, and I get out and flag this taxi down. And he stops. And I said, you got jumper cables? He said, yeah, how much? $5? He'll jump us off. So he does a U-turn, comes up. Patrick is still in the car. So I'm this white guy flagging this, and he turns out to be an African cab driver, okay? So he pulls up, is going to jump our car off. He gets out, I go to approach his car, and Patrick, who is an African American, gets out of his car and comes around the other side, and the guy goes, you stay on the other side of the car. And I'm watching this going, what's up with this? Why aren't you afraid of me? And all of a sudden it hit me. Here's an African more worried about an African-American than a Caucasian. Like he's going to jump him, like it's a setup. So it's not just white on black or Mexican on black. It's black on black sometimes. These fears, these racial profilings of sorts that go on. You say, what does this have to do with God? Teach the Bible. I don't want to hear about this. I'm teaching the Bible. You say, well, I don't want to change in this area. Well, good luck. Then what are you going to do on the planet the rest of your life? Just find people just like you? Oh, there's a good, nice young man just like me. I think I'll share Jesus with him. Because if he gets saved, he can come to my church and I won't have to deal with any problems. He'll just be a nice young man just like me. You cannot get comfortable and be a Christian. It just does not work. You can get comfortable with Christ, but the more time you walk and talk with him, you're going to find yourself with people and in places that are not comfortable and having to adjust and adapt and think and pray and process these things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, beginning there. Now this is something you look in the scripture, you'd have to go study this. But back then a big deal was these people were so whacked and so out there in Corinth, they worshiped all these idols and would take, you know, meat and stuff and offer it to these idols in these temples. And then the people, the priests in these pagan temples would take it to the market and sell it. And people who had lived that, it's like if you've ever done crack, the last place you need to go is to a crack house. If you're an alcoholic, the last place you need to go to is a bar. If your problem is shopping, the last place you need to go is a mall. I think you're getting my point. So then this culture in this place in 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul here again writing to the same place says, all things are lawful for me. It said, I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do basically, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. They don't build somebody else up. You cannot abuse this grace. So he says, all things are lawful, they're not all helpful. All things are lawful for me, but they're not all built up or edifying. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Think about somebody else. How does this affect somebody else? Not I can do what I want to do when I want to. How is it going to affect somebody else? And he goes on and talks about this. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market. Ask no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner, you desire to go. Eat whatever is set before you. Ask no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, don't eat it for the sake of those who told you and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food which I give thanks? Therefore, look at verse 31. This is a huge verse in the Bible. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whether you're eating or drinking, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. It's not about what you want when you want it, just because you want it. And say, you know what, that's their problem. They moved here. They need to adjust to this culture, this place. They moved here, but guys, primarily we're trying to reach them, not make them great Americans. Our job is to make people great Christians and introduce them to Christ, not just to this country. Now, lest somebody say, well, you know what, why are you bashing America? I am the most patriotic American. I get so freaked out at softball, baseball, football, any game. I've lived overseas where I missed America so bad I could taste it. I'd go to a baseball game here and people standing around picking their nose, scratching their head during the national anthem. It makes me nuts. I stand up, my hand on my heart, singing the song, the flag goes up. I am crying. It overwhelms me. I am so grateful to God to be an American. But I should not be more grateful to God for being American than I am that He gave His own Son to die, be buried, and raised from the dead to pay my way. If something's going to move you, that ought to move you even more. So it's not a bad thing to be American wherever you're from, but when you meet Christ, you are that more than anything. You are primarily not an American citizen. You are a Christian citizen. Now, if you think, well, where are you getting that? Ephesians 2:19. And this is Paul again, as a matter of fact, writing to another city called Ephesus. And he says to them, 2:19, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, this word strangers means without the knowledge of, without a share in, one who receives and entertains another hospitably, with whom he stays or lodges, a host, that's a stranger. And a foreigner, in the New Testament, a stranger or this foreigner, one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship, without citizenship in God's kingdom, one who lives on earth as a stranger, a sojourner on the earth of Christians whose home is in heaven. Let me tell you something, guys, my home is not here. If there's a heavenly culture, he says to these Ephesians, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Now you're in God's family, part of this holy nation, another place describes it as, of believers. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And this word here for fellow citizens means possessing the same citizenship with others, a fellow citizen of Gentiles is received in communion of the saints. We all have become one nation, one family, this God kind of nation or family, not necessarily by geographical boundaries. So he says, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, refers to us as citizens. There's one other place I think I have here we can look at, and it's in Philippians 3:20. And Paul here writing to this church in Philippi says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are from another place. When you are in Christ, when you meet Christ, you take on a whole new citizenship that overwhelms and surpasses any allegiance here. Not that you don't abide by the laws of the land, not that you don't care about traditions and culture and all these things. But let me tell you something, guys. What we're about is a cross culture. It's not about American culture or Mexican culture. We can celebrate all these things together, but this is about a cross culture. And that's what Jesus left us here to be, a cross culture and to do. And that is to cross culture with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So we are a cross culture where it is about the cross of Jesus Christ and the difference He can make in your life. But our job is to cross cultural lines and to impact people.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now you say, now how does this apply? What do I do? You don't even have to leave the room. If we stood up and had a little time to mix it up and walk around, you could find people in this room right now. They don't speak English like you do, not as well. They're from somewhere else. Cinco de Mayo is a great day for them, a big day. You could care less. But you start asking questions about it for their sake. You say, I'm going to try to build a relationship with them. What's important to you? Where do you come from? Tell me about this day. Why do you guys celebrate this? Get into their life. Become something to them that you might win them, maybe as a Christian primarily, but also just as a friend. It's amazing how many people we miss out on by not being willing to cross these lines. You say, well, why do you care about that? Because Jesus died for these people too. Here's what you do. If you find somebody that Jesus didn't die for, then you just leave them alone. When you meet somebody from another culture of your own, you go, oh, he probably didn't die for them. I don't have to waste my time on them. Just pass them by. But if you look somebody in the eyes and go, you know what? I bet he died for them too. Then you're going to have to cross some lines and get uncomfortable. We do it for love. We do it for cash. Why can't we do it for Christ? And you say, well, I don't like those people. You're never asked to like them. You're commanded to love them. So you make a decision. God, whoever, whenever, wherever, whatever, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm a Christian American, not an American Christian, in that order. And I'm available and I'm willing.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you. richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.